Change is hard. Okay? How many of you know, though, that we've got to go through change? That the revival is not on this side of change. Revival is on the other side of change. Can we agree on that? So I'm going to talk about change, and I think the first thing I'm going to do is read this word that came to the prayer center, and really, that's it. If you're watching this, you're part of that probably, you know, part of the vision worldwide, or hearing it. So this came just recently, May 17th, and the title that was put on it is, "This is a Season for Trust." This is a season for trust. He says, "Permit not alarms of the soul when I am not alarming in the spirit. Present order is being rearranged by my hand, and I am at work in realms that you cannot see. This is a season for trust. This is a season for worship. And this is a season of surrender." Now, when he says, this is Gary talking now, we got two more paragraphs here, but when he says, "Present order is being rearranged by my hand," does that sound like change to you? Yeah. And seeing it's things internally on each one of us, and then it's also going to be things externally, because things are not going to stay the way they are. Obviously, they're not. Because this is the year of power, and he's promised us this revival over and over again, so I don't care what we see. I don't care what it looks like, his word to the prayer center has not changed and will not change. Amen? But I do understand, and I think everybody understands, it's reasonable to expect change is coming in every way. Okay? So now I'm going to pick it up again. He says, "Trust me that I am answering those prayers that you have offered up to me. So be not alarmed when you see change, even if that change appears to you to be not what you expected. Trust me in your..." Now it's this important. "Trust me in your personal life." That sounds like change might be coming to your personal life. Remember the blue staircase? You might be squeezing out your living room. What do you mean by that? That's where you live. That's your... Yeah, more of your life becomes his life type of thing, okay? So trust me in your personal life and in the life of this family. I take that to mean the family of the prayer center, not only physically here. Hey, we've got people all over the world that are just as much a part of this vision and body, and have been some of them for 20 years or more, okay? And the life of this body. Now, the life of this body is the prayer center and more, because how many of you know we're not the only part of the body? Amen. So the whole body of Christ is going to be affected by this change, okay? So let me read that line again. "Trust me in your personal life." So change, he just got through saying, change will appear that is not what you expected. Okay? Then he says, "In your personal life." Well, I've been praying for change. Okay, my job is not to ignore these things when he brings them to me. Y'all, how many remember Rodney Harrod Brown? You know, and he had that laughing anointing, and I mean, you know, and it was just incredible, you know. But I heard an interview with him one time. Do you know the man prayed for over 10 years when he had no anointing at all? I mean, he's just a little tiny ministry somewhere. Was he from South Africa? And he says, "I was there, and it was like God was not hearing, and I was praying 10 years, oh God, give me an anointing, oh God, give me an anointing, oh you." Does that sound like the prayer center? "Oh God, give me an anointing." And then when it came, and it was what it was, he went, "Oh God, not that." Yeah, not that. That's not what I was expecting. Isn't that perfect, though? And I tell you, America, the body of Christ, especially here, we needed to laugh. We had been through some horrible big scandals, and I'm not going to mention the names, but you remember. It was bad, and everybody was, you know, mealy-mouthed and everything, it was God. I mean, people would just laugh. But he didn't get to choose that anointing, and the change came. But see, he was answering the prayers, but it certainly did not come the way he expected it to come. Well, I think that's a good I think that's pretty good. So trust me that I am answering those prayers that you have offered up to me. So be not alarmed when you see change. Even if that change appears to you to be not what you expected. Trust me in your personal life and in the life of this family and in the life of the body, this body, for my word to you shall be accomplished. It shall not return to me void, and the world shall see that my Son is glorified. Isn't that something? So change is coming, people. And he is answering our prayers, all the prayers that we've been offering up all these years. So he's like warning us ahead of time, I am answering those prayers, but those answers may not come precisely in the way that you expected. So don't get into fear when you see the change. Trust me that I am answering those prayers, and that I know what I'm doing, basically, and that I'm bringing you into revival. So that's real easy to preach until change comes to you. It's just real easy until change comes to you. Now, we are going to look at this. Go ahead and go to John 15. And we used these verses a few weeks ago. And the reason that I'm again drawn to this passage is it has that famous, wonderful promise. Near the end of this, it says, whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Well, that sounds like revival to me. That sounds like a revival to me. But we want to just lift that verse out like it's not surrounded by all these other verses. Lift it out of the setting and just take it like nail it up over the door. Well, whatsoever I ask in the Father's name, he gives it me. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm just always thankful it's not me this time. Praise God. You know? I actually remembered and left mine in the car. Glory. And I remembered to plug in the charger, so we're good. We're doing good tonight. Anyway. So, yes. So the verse, let's look at the promise first. Verse 16, John 15, 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Boy, is that not a promise? That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Boy, we want that. That sounds like revival to me. But what is all that print above there? What is all that red above there? Does that mean anything? Let's see. Let's back up to about verse 10. There's a big if here. If you keep my commandments. What? If you keep in my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What if Jesus came to earth like he did, grew up to a certain age, and I hear that the Sea of Galilee is really a pretty thing. I mean, I hear it's a pretty blue, clear water, nice, you know, and recreation and everything can be done there. And what if Jesus said about, wasn't he baptized in the Holy Ghost about age 30? What if about age 30, he said, you know, I really like that ocean, that Sea of Galilee. I know my mission is here to die on a cross for the sins of man, but you know, that's a pretty sea. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to start a fishing business myself. I'm going to find me a wife and have my best life now. We laugh. He could have done that. He sure could have done that. Thank God he didn't. Because there's no other son waiting in the wings. There was no other one. Thank God. Do you know from God's point of view, as ridiculous as that sounds, he finds it just as ridiculous when we choose to do that with our life? See, I didn't get near the amens there. It's exactly the same thing. When he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, he means that. He means that. And I thank God for bringing me to the prayer center all those years ago, because I heard that kind of thing my whole life, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. They would say other wonderful things. Gary, you need to walk in more love. Well, thanks a lot. I knew that before I came to your service, you know. You need to walk in more faith. Well, aren't you the prophet? I knew that before I listened to your service. But can anybody tell me how? And I thank God for coming here, because for the first time, Dave had the how. That by learning how to fellowship and connect with the mind of Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that literally I could be changed into that same image from glory to glory. And I could also find out the real plan of God for my life and not spend the next 20 years guessing like I had it had been 12 years. Sue and I had been saved and spirit filled for 12 years when we walked through the door of this church. And we had done a lot of things, quote, for the Lord. But anything you do, he'll bless it all that he can, okay? But that's not the same as hearing and obeying his commandment. So here, every time we see commandment here, I think the last time that we preached on this, I was in 2 Peter and or Jude, where they're saying no to the Lord, and even to his written commandments. The things that he told us, like, get serious with the flesh. If your right hand offends thee, cut it off. Which, what he means is, I'm not going to go through that again. However bad that would hurt, dealing with the flesh can be really painful. But you better deal with it. But he expects that. That's part and parcel of being a born-again Christian sold out to God. Now, that's not required to go to heaven. That's required to be his disciple. See, a lot of people, I think, are going to be in heaven. The thief on the cross never, you wouldn't call him a disciple. He never had a chance to become a disciple. But he made it. This day thou'll be with me in paradise. And all he did was acknowledge that Jesus was the king. Acknowledge me when you remember me. I mean, when you come into your kingdom, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Well, I think there's going to be a lot of people in heaven like that. But you're not here on a Sunday night at the prayer center again, trying to sneak into heaven through the back door with the least amount of responsibility that possible. We're contending for revival here. See? So when we read commandment here, not just think about the things that he said that you already have in the red letters in your King James Bible. Got some holding them up. Hallelujah. Well, in his written word, let's say it like that. But we're also talking about his commandments to you individually. That personal life. His commandments to you. I don't know how to hear him. Honey, you're at the right church. You will find out. If you do this message, you will begin to hear him. You'll know what his will is. That's the easy part. I hate to tell you that. That is the easy part of it. The hard part is becoming dead enough to obey him when you do hear him. Because he'll tell you some scary stuff. Okay. So let's read John 15, starting in verse 10 again. I'll try and make it all the way through 17 this time. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Now, in your mind, don't just think written word. His commandments to you personally. Okay? Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Well, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Boy, was he about to do that or what? Well, now he's asking us to do that. See, lay down your life. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants. Henceforth means from this day forward. I will not call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And here we go. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, here, there's what we want, see. He may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Well, he said about himself, he says, look, I've stayed in my Father's commandments. I have not varied to the left or to the right. What he's told me to do, that's what I'm doing. And as long as I do that, then whatever I ask in His name, then He gives it me. And He'll do exactly the same thing for you. But see, that promise is not for everybody carte blanche, who's mostly interested in their life now. They're not really in it. They want to be saved and they want to go to heaven, but they want to have their best life now. And it doesn't really matter a whole lot what He wants. Well, that's not the kind that normally survive very long at the prayer center. You're not going to survive very long here, because what we're after is Him and His kingdom and the Father's will being manifested in the earth. Amen. Now, if you don't have to look, you can if you want to. You go to 1 John. I'm going to give you a few verses about His commandments, because it's so rampant on TV right now, and I'm telling you, it's making great inroads even to the prayer center family here, not only locally here at this church, but places that have been affiliated in other parts of the country, and they're being drawn away. And I'm telling you right now, one of the verses that I quoted recently was out of 2 Peter chapter 2, where he says near the end of that, he says, people that have clean escaped, they have escaped the corruption of the world through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If they are again, in other words, once they have escaped and they have known the way of righteousness, he says, if they become entangled again, and he's not talking there about the law, being tangled in the law, he's talking about being re-entangled again with sin. And I mean enduring, stay there. He said, the latter end with them is worse than the beginning. It would have been, and for the longest time I didn't know, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then forsaken it. And the proverb has become true in their life that the dog has returned to its vomit and the sow has returned to its wallowing in the mire. And what all that's really saying, Dave said that 20 years ago, but he said it this way. He said, look, backslider, God will take you back. He will. I mean, He's married to the backslider, and you have promises, Old Testament and New Testament. Sure, He'll if you repent and come like the prodigal son. I mean, how did He treat the prodigal, you know? He will take you back. He said the danger, and this is why it's worse, not to have known the way, or to have known the way and then forsaken it. He said, it's not that He won't take you back, but you can get out there far enough. Nothing in you wants to come back. Nothing in you wants to come back. That's the danger. See, and three times, if I'm not mistaken, now I'm not. Three times in Romans chapter 1, there's wording like this. God turned them over. God let them go. In other words, His long suffering stayed with them. These people that had knowledge of God, they had the knowledge of God, but they chose not to retain that knowledge and His long suffering. But eventually, you stay out there long enough. From God's point of view, it's like, okay, if you really love that more than you love me, I'll let you go. And you can have what you really love. And finally, it says He'll let you go. He'll turn you over. That's another phrase. He'll turn you over. He'll let you go. Even to a reprobate mind. That's some of the scariest words in the whole Bible to me. You know? But what's He going to do? He's not going to force you to ever do anything. He will not violate that free will no matter what. Like how Dave said it, if He was ever going to override a man's free will, He would have slapped Adam on the way to the tree. He slapped him down. No, you don't, you know. And that, if He didn't do it there, He's not going to do it anywhere. So these commandments, let me give you these about these commandments, because change is hard. And He hasn't had you here all these years for you not to hear His voice. So first off, if your life is out of line with these written commandments, this is really Nathan 101. If you are in fornication, this is where you're at. I'm trying to look everywhere, so I'm not looking anywhere. Daisy, if you're in that fornication, first, if you're in violation of the written word, and you know you are, you know you're a thief, you're a liar, you're whatever, or you're, let's take fornication or adultery. That's 101. You've got to stop. You have got to stop. Well, I can't. Well, that's lie number one. Really, you can. I understand what you're saying. And remember, I'm the poster boy for... Mine was pretty minor. I mean, smoking is not nothing compared to a lot of things, you know. I mean, it is, but don't, I'm not belittling it, but I'm just saying it's fairly easy on compared to a lot of things. But I had no right to say I can't. My dad used to say, son, see if I can do a war. It's always, boy, I don't care if you're 50, boy, there is no such thing as can't. Just can't, hardly. It might be hard, but you can do it. Well, that's exactly what God is saying. I gave you a nature which is Christ in you that is far, how much more? Much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in this life by one, Jesus Christ. Much more, no matter how much death reigned before, I don't care how bad it was, much more that nature He put on the inside of us. Your job is to nurture that nature. And He brought you to the right church. You are in the right place. You need to push away from the table. Wish I was thinner teaching this. Need to push away from the table. Here, Jason, let them see you instead of me. Push away from the table, Gary. Yes, yes. All right. I didn't go when the hot light was on the other day. But anyway, that's another deal. And pray in tongues. Because the only thing keeping you from walking in that, He gave you the ability to walk sin free the day you got born again. That doesn't mean that you don't have strongholds. You got to deal with some of these strongholds. That's what do you think all of that's in the Old Testament for? About city by city by city, you possess the land. Okay? But it doesn't take away from the fact there's no city there stronger than you. There is no stronghold stronger than that new nature on the inside of you. And change is hard. Okay? Now, I know when John wrote this, we're looking at 1 John now. Whew, boy, I'm going to hurry. 1 John now. And you can read this both. Every time I say the word commandments here, it's both His written word and His personal word. Well, in our case, mine and Sue's case, for just simple example. Okay, we're not committing, I'm talking about in the early days when I began to hear Him about going full-time in ministry and we started getting our commandments, our instructions. And I don't try and put those off on anybody else. Okay? And He would tell us things like, and at the time, everybody and his brother that was in ministry was selling their tapes. Now, this is the cassette tapes days, you know. Money was staying away from us in great abundance. And I'm thinking, okay, this is how you do it. You sell the tapes and you get a mailing list and zama zama, and that's how you do it. But one of the commandments to us, and I'm not trying to push this off on you, okay? I'm just telling you what he did. We're going to see, keep His commandments, okay? But His instruction to us was never to sell anything when it comes to the gospel. I could sell you a car. I could sell you a pizza, you know. But I can't. When it comes, for me, we're not allowed to sell anything. Do you think that got tested? Oh my Lord, it got tested to the tune of $46,000 in debt before it started turning. Now that's a fair Anak. Goliath, sons of Anak. He had four brothers, you know. Anyway, that's pretty good. Goliath slew that sucker in 1 year by His grace. Obeying Him, see? But that's the kind of thing. You're going to get your commandments. You're going to get your instructions. So now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Hereby we do know. I love the wording. Hereby we do know that we know Him. See, a lot of people say they know Him. But they don't know Him. They're not keeping His commandments. Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and there's lots of those, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. The truth is not in him. Now, you can take the written commandments, you know. I worship you, I worship you. Do you know there's a scripture that says, in vain they do worship me? In vain, they can worship me all they want. Now the rest of that verse is, because they preach the doctrines of men instead of the commandments of God. See? In other words, that particular group he was talking about, they decided they were going to preach what they wanted. It didn't matter what God's word said. Nothing like that going on in the church today. But it would be the same thing if you're right in the middle of adultery. I'm going to worship him. Well, I think your worship is in vain, sir. I'm sorry. You know, what about an axe murderer? Let's take it to the extreme. You know, it doesn't work for axe murderers to cut down. He gave me that one time, you know, and he's trying to give. He says, will that work for you? You know, you got a guy that's killing five a week. He starts coming to the prayer center. He says, well, I'm cutting down. I've been praying. I'm down to only three. I'm only killing three a week now. There's some things you have to deal with. And I don't care how tough it is. I don't care how bad it is. But you got to keep praying and let the Lord deal with that stronghold. Because Dave is right. If you don't deal with the root of that thing. In my case, it was the nicotine, you know. And I just asked him, should I just quit? I'll be honest with you. I think I misheard him a little bit. But the way he answered me was, well, do you want to start molesting your wife? Molesting children or beating your wife? And I went, I thought the man was crazy. He's sitting right there. I said, what? I'm just asking you about quitting smoking. You won't know if I want to start molesting children or beating my wife? He said, well, Gary, there's a root in you. There's a root. That smoking is just a fruit from that root. You can quit. You can cut that limb off. And he didn't say this. If I had it to do over, I would. But what he's saying is you cannot stop dealing with the root. Because if you don't deal with the root of that thing, it's going to manifest some other way. How many people you know quit smoking and gain 100 pounds? Yeah, right. That's real common. Or people that, I'll use Nathan since he already told on himself. You decide to go on a fast and you're dealing with the flesh. Somebody cuts you off in traffic and here you are, the man of fasting and prayer, and you got your knife out the window. I'll kill you. You know, I'll show you. Cut me off in traffic. You think there might be a little stronghold or two here? But you still got to deal with it, see? You got to deal with it. Anyway, that's not really the lesson. Okay, now John 3. And these are commandments, see? This insipid, weak, greasy, sloppy, agape, lascivious, radical grace thing that's going on is so not scriptural. It's amazing to me. All I do know, I start to say it's amazing how people fall for it. How they fall for it, it appeases the flesh. Because the day you accept that, your war with the flesh is over. He just loves me like I am. It's okay. I don't have to change. He does love you like you are. He accepts all of us like we are. He knew I was the biggest mess around when he saved me. But he loves us all too much to leave us the way we are. See? Hallelujah. So 1 John 3 verse 22 says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Boy, that sounds just like John 15. And this is the same John. It's just years later when he wrote the epistle. Remember, we just read over there. In fact, here, I've still got it somewhere. Yeah. John 15:16, right near the end. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And years later in his epistle, he says, let me just read that part of it. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Doesn't that sound like the same thing? But then notice, back there he said, Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And here he says, because we keep his commandments. John didn't forget what Jesus said. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. John 3:24. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit he has given us. 1 John 5:2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. This is the love of God. Well, I'm just all about love. All I want to do is worship the Lord. In fact, I want to worship the Lord so much, I'm not even going to get a job. Doesn't mind that I have a wife and a child, you know. I'm just going to worship the Lord because it's all about love. Well, you're not obeying His commandments. If you're the head of a house or if you're a single mom, and if you are not doing everything you can to provide for your family in a legal way, it says you're worse than an infidel. You've denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. That's not keeping His commandments. That is not the love of God. That is deception to the tenth power. Okay? I'm not going to keep His commandments, but I love Him. Liar. Aren't y'all glad you came down here? Now, as I was asking him for an illustration, well, first off, let me just give you these. Be turning to Genesis somewhere. Genesis 22. We'll be there in just a minute. Listen, let's talk about change. Going from the old covenant to the new covenant. Look at everything Christ had to suffer. The cross. But let's don't think about that. You saw the passion of the Christ. Let's think about the disciples. Let's talk about Peter for a minute. Let's talk about, I mean, here your leader that you have followed, that you have invested your whole life into, all of your hopes and all of your dreams are in this man. And there he is on a cross. And the same people that killed him, now they're coming after you. And actually, they were in hiding. They were in hiding, all except John. They were in hiding and in fear. I've tried to wonder what those discussions had to be like. Is this over? What are we going to do now? We thought this was forever. We thought He was the Messiah. I can't imagine what it must have been like. And you talk about, I was thinking of that prophecy today where He's, here, let me just read it again. In the light of them, here change had happened. And He says, I mean, how many hundreds of years had Israel prayed, send the Messiah? So God is answering all those prayers. Change is happening, but it's sure not what they expected. Especially Peter. Remember, he never did agree with that. Jesus told him, he says, you know, I'm going to be arrested and killed. And Peter says, it won't be that way. You know. Well, so here they are huddled together. They watched the Master be, well, maybe from a distance. They know anyway that Jesus has been crucified, that He's dead and in a tomb. Now, the greatest change in the history of the world is actually happening. And it is all being orchestrated by the hand of God. But it is not what they expected. Okay? Trust me that I am answering those prayers that you have offered to me. Be not alarmed when you see change, even if that change appears to you to be not what you expected. Boy, is that not a word, but in a way it scares me a little bit. How drastic is this change going to be? If He's having to warn us, don't worry when you see it, but trust that it's me when you see it, I'm going, that probably means it won't look like Him when I see it. And to the disciples, it didn't look like Him. I mean, Jesus is dead. It looks like the end. But the greatest change in the history of the world was really happening. And God was going from the old covenant to the new covenant. He was going from a servant relationship with mankind to a family relationship with mankind, where we could literally be reborn of His Spirit. Change is hard. Now let's look at another one. That's a good one though, isn't it? That go right along with that prophecy. Now, Genesis 22, I mean, we've been talking about Abraham and his steps of faith. We've been talking about the birth of Isaac. And this was God's, they held on to this for so many years, you know. I mean, they held on, and finally Isaac is born. The promise is there. Then he's growing up, you know, he's growing up in the house. And looks like everything's great. I mean, if I remember, now again, don't send me your letters. I think he was roughly 19 or 20. I'd have to go back. He's not a little boy. Okay? Isaac, I'm talking about. In this incident. All right, so Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, the better word there is test, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. What? This promise of God that I stood for and you changed my name. We talked about it this morning. You changed my vision. You changed my name. And this promised son, this miracle that you did in our bodies. And he was born and now we've been nurturing him up for nearly 20 years. And now you're saying kill him? Talk about change. Change being hard. But this is why we look back to Abraham as one of the father. Walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. So let's read this. I got to go fairly quickly. Verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood. They gathered the wood on the donkeys for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. And now 3 days, you have time to think. 3 days. Where are you going? Can't you just hear the voice of the, you think the devil was dead then? Can you not hear his voice? You think that's God, do you? You think you can trust this God who promises you and then takes away? On and on. Are you really going to do this? Are you really going to do this? You going to obey him? You can't obey him. I mean, can you imagine? 3 days. Verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, Abide you here with the ass. Now get this. He already had it in his heart though. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. See, he also had 3 days to meditate the promises. Even though Isaac had been born, that was not the fulfillment of the promise. Even though Isaac, what was the promise? Through Isaac shall thy seed be called, and thy seed shall number as the stars of heaven. Well, Isaac, as of yet, has not married, has had no child, and had no seed. So Abraham's thinking. Abraham's meditating. He's got 3 days. Now let's see. Now God promised me that through Isaac, not some other child, through this boy right here, he's going to have children. And through that seed, it's going to be multiplied to the point my descendants are going to number like the stars of heaven. Yet God's telling me to offer him up. Well, God's not a liar. How could this possibly work? Well, there's only one answer. God must be intending to raise him from the dead. All right. I trust you. You talk about trust. When the change is not what you were expecting. All right, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to obey you. But I know you cannot lie. Boy, if we at the prayer center needs this, you need this. I know you cannot lie. And what you have promised me will surely come to pass. And even though what you're telling me to do right now, your commandment to me right now looks like craziness. You wouldn't say that to the Lord, but that's the way Sue and I felt when money was staying away in great abundance. We literally were behind on everything, worried that they might shut the lights off during a Bible study. And his commandment was, don't sell anything and don't take up any offerings from these people. Sounded crazy. But I had to learn to trust him there in order to trust him where we are now. See? Well, you got to... All this stuff preaches real good until he talks to you. And my daughter Angie, She's going to work. By the way, she's coming back to work for the ministry tomorrow. Hallelujah. We're excited about that. I'm excited about that. But one time when her husband was going through change, her and her husband, he had been working at a dead-end job, to be honest. He never finished high school. And he's a good worker, always has been, but he had like a dead-end job at an assembly line. I think they made garbage bags on an assembly line, you know. But he'd already been promoted as far as he could be without a high school. That's as far as you're going to go. And for the rest of your life, if nothing changes, then, you know, it's just going to be minimum wage increases. That's it, at a very low end, you know, just working on an assembly line type of thing. And so Sue and I both, because he's smart, and we kept telling Kevin, said, look, you're smart. You know, you should get your GED. Well, at first, his confidence had been so shaken, it took a while to talk him into it. Oh, he passed it with flying colors. He studied and passed it. Well, that got him, well, all right. And he said, you know, we kept talking with him, and he said, well, I might start taking some night classes. So he started taking night classes, learning computers and learning other things, and he is very smart. Well, before long, he got some diplomas or something from there. He wound up getting a job at his first one at Cox. He was the guy you called. If your computer was messing up, he was the guy you called to tell you what to do to get your computer working again. Now he's moved up even beyond there. See? But now, when you tell the story now, it's, oh yeah, that looks so smooth. Well, there was a transition time from when he got his last paycheck, and he was making a transition from there to Cox. And if I remember, it was going to be 3 weeks without any pay. Well, they knew it was coming. They made preparations. They had saved some money. If Angie was right here, I'd tell the story. She wouldn't care. 3 weeks went by. They had saved enough. They thought enough for 3 weeks. But any of you ever still have a month left after the money ended, you know? She came to my house. She said, I've never forgot this line. It's so perfect for all of us. She said, Daddy, we were strong in faith while the money was there. Aren't we all? Aren't we all strong in faith when there's a chicken in the pot and gas in the car and the bills are paid and the kids are nice and you're getting along with the family and everything's great? Oh, my faith is strong. That's not when you find out where your faith is. See? No, it's when the trial comes. Well, she's been right with us through those wars that we went, the ones that I'm describing that we went through financially. She was there in the early days, and she's learned a lot since then. We're all strong in faith when the circumstances are perfect. We've got to learn to be strong in faith when they're the opposite of what we expected. Okay? All right. But Abraham's already been, so he's had 3 days to meditate on this, and he's already come to the conclusion. You can tell it in verse 5. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. I and the lad are going to go, and I and the lad will return. He's already got it in his heart. I didn't look up the verse, but it talks about this in the New Testament, where it said he had already received him like in a figure raised from the dead. He knew God could not lie. He knew Isaac had not had any seed yet. So even if God's asking him to do this, I'm going to obey you. This is not what I expected. This is not the change that I expected. But your word to me cannot lie. And so no matter what I see, I am going to obey your commandments. Boy, that's faith. That's somebody that knows God. That's somebody that loves God. Amen. So let's read just a little more here. So verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, boy, if there was ever a prophecy, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Boy, if that's not a prophecy. You know, Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. I think he knew what was going on at this point. See, in order for God to have authority in the earth to raise his son from the dead, he needed a man in the earth to have faith to believe that God would raise his son from the dead. That gets into the authority that God delegated to man in order for God to be able to legally raise his son from the dead in the earth. This is the equation. This is the counterpart. This is what on Abraham's side opened the door for God to be able to do that. Because this man trusted God to raise his son from the dead. Amen. See, God looks at it from the heart, though. So he's looking at Abraham's heart. And Abraham said in verse 8, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. You got to give a little credit to Isaac. Now, at this point, he knows what the lamb is. He's tying you down on the wood. There's the fire right over there. You know, he did not disobey. Man, we could preach a long time right there. The obedience of Isaac. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And I think you could put, whew. And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." See, when we sing those songs, Jehovah Jireh, we're always thinking about money. Now, Jehovah Jireh, he's the one that provided salvation for you. He's the one that provided the Lamb for you. He is the one that's provided our inheritance for us. Amen. Change does not always come in the way that you expect. And when you see change that really almost looks opposite to the promises, this is not what we expected. I think about the disciples hidden away during the time of the cross. I think about Abraham here. God, you said what? We could go to other places, but we're out of time. But what he is warning us ahead of time, whatever this change is, it's going to be enough to where he's saying, in fact, I'm going to finish it with it. It's not very long. Amen? "Permit not alarms of the soul when I am not alarming in the spirit. Present order is being arranged by my hand." Now, you've got to understand that. By my hand. "And I am at work in realms that you cannot see. This is a season for trust. This is a season for worship. And this is a season of surrender. Trust me that I am answering those prayers that you have offered up to me. So be not alarmed when you see change, even if that change appears to you to be not what you expected. Trust me in your personal life and in the life of this family and in the life of this body. For my word to you shall be accomplished. It shall not return to me void. And the world shall see that my son is glorified." We are coming into revival. Don't fear change. And when change comes, even if it's not what we expected, trust him. He is at work behind the scenes. Amen? Hallelujah. I think that's a good lesson for all of us. Glory to God.